By the time Brunn got back to base, she had cooled down enough to be icily polite to her security escort. They were icily polite in return. It was long after midnight. She could hear the snarling of the transports picking up teams for the field exercise. The exercise she should have been on. She checked the outbound shuttle and transport schedules. No doubt there would be formalities, but she should be able to get away before Esme came back. She put her name on the list for an appointment with the commandant of schools in the morning and went back to her quarters to get what rest she could. When she went in, it was clear that the commandant already knew something. She could see it in his face, and before she even sat down, he started to apologize.
Sarah Meager, I understand a junior officer acted very inappropriately.
You had a scan on Lieutenant Sweezer.
On you, Sarah Meager. I'm sorry, but for your own safety, we thought that...
It was intolerable. She could not even have a quarrel without someone listening in.
Well, I suppose you got an earful.
Lieutenant Sweezer was totally unprofessional. You have my fleet's apology.
Never mind that. She was rude, yes, but she made it clear I will never be accepted on my own merits. And I am placing an undue burden on your staff, trying to keep me safe. I'm resigning my place, or whatever you call it.
Does your father know?
She could have slugged him, but his question was another proof that she was right.
I'm informing him by Ansible transmission this morning, sir. As soon as public hours open, I plan to take fleet transport to the nearest civilian transport nexus.
Brunn could not think of the name.
I will probably lease a vessel from there.
Well, you need not hurry.
I would rather be gone before the field exercise is over.
Brunn was determined not to see Esme Sweezer again. Or Baron Serrano, for that matter. She could just imagine what his grandmother would say.
I see. Again, while I think your decision is probably best under the circumstances, you have my assurance that Lieutenant Sweezer's behavior will not go without official rebuke.
Exhaustion rolled over her suddenly like a heavy blanket. She didn't care about Lieutenant Sweezer. She just wanted to be away from these people with their punctilious rules, their unbending righteousness.
I will cooperate with all necessary procedures.
Brunn pushed herself up. What she really wanted was a week's sleep. She could get that once she left this miserable place. She put on her public persona to get through the remaining hours. She smiled at the right time, shook the right hands, murmured the right pleasantries, assured everyone that she had taken no offense, harbored no grievances, had simply come to the conclusion that this was not right for her. By nightfall, her father had replied to her request that he send his personal militia to replace the Royal Space Service security when she reached civilian space. He had agreed, with what enthusiasm she could not judge, to her plan of spending a few months visiting relatives and business contacts before returning to Cerealis for the opening of the hunting season. At local midnight, she boarded the shuttle off-planet and hoped that Esme Sweezer was having a miserable time wherever she was. 30 hours into the field exercise, Esme wondered why she had ever thought this was a good idea for an elective. She had led her team safely through the first third of the course. They had spotted and evaded a number of traps. But they were hungry, thirsty, and tired now, and she was fresh out of ideas. Ahead lay grassland to the line of fence that represented safety. They hadn't been spotted in the broken ground, but out there they couldn't hide. And it was too great a distance to cross in a rush. If they stayed where they were, they'd probably be found. And anyway, they wouldn't get the extra points for getting to the safe hold.
A tunnel would be handy. I don't suppose we could find an animal burrow.
I doubt it.
Briefing had said the native animals were all under 5 kilos. Of course, Briefing had left a lot out. Esme held them all where they were until dusk. Then they began a slow, careful crawl through the grass toward the fence line. The hood cut off sight instantly. She struck out uselessly, knowing it was useless. Her blows fell on air, but the blows aimed at her landed, knocked her sideways, back, sideways again, until she finally fell, her head slamming into a hummock she had not been able to see. She tasted blood. She'd bitten her tongue in that fall. Before she could react, the assailants grabbed arms and legs, And in seconds, she was immobilized like a calf for branding.
Was it like this for Baron?
No, for him it had been real. But the pain was real now, too. A fist grabbed her hair through the hood and yanked her head back.
Think of something else. It does help, though you don't believe it at the time.
That was in the manual, too, so others had found it useful. As she felt rough hands on the fastening of her clothes and the cold edge of a blade, and then the tug as her clothes were cut away, her mind slid back toward that other time in childhood.
No.
She would not go there. She would think of something that made her feel strong. What came into her head was the argument with Brunn. In her head, in this pain-filled dark, she could think of much more to say than she had said. As the hours passed, hours she could not count, she elaborated on the argument and its causes all the way back to that first meeting with Brunn, and imagined herself and Brunn and Baron, what each said, what each was thinking, what each thought the other was thinking. The verbal assaults of her captors became the things Brunn had said, or would have said if she'd thought of them. The blows they dealt were the blows Brunn would have dealt if she had dared fight openly. But in the story she was telling herself, she gave as good as she got. Better, in fact. For Brunn's attacks, she now had the right counterattacks. For Brunn's invincible arrogance, she now had a response that brought Brunn to her knees, that forced her to acknowledge Esme's position, skills, knowledge. In her mind, at least, she could triumph. She was vaguely conscious that her captors were considerably annoyed with her for some reason, but nothing mattered as much as Brunn's appropriation of Baron and her own determination to defend, not territory exactly, but her chance at... As suddenly as it began, it ended. She didn't notice at first, though as she came back to real space and time, she was aware that her mind had noticed and had begun pulling her back from the story she'd been writing in her mind. She felt the cool, blunt snout of a hypo spray against her arm, then a wave of returning clarity. When she opened her eyes, a medic smiled at her and gave the code phrase that meant the exercise was over. And Lieutenant Commander Euless, looking no grimmer than usual, reached out a hand to help her up.
Sweeza, you're tougher than I thought. Whatever you were doing inside your head worked. Keep it in mind in case you need it.
Esme felt shaky when she stood, and only then noticed that her hands were bandaged. He nodded at them.
You'll need an hour or so in the regen tank. The team kept thinking they could get to you in just another little bit, but it's all within regs.
Now she could feel the pain working its way past the restorative drug. Euless put out his arm again.
Better take hold. We'll get you into the transport. You're the last here.
The team?
You all passed, even Taris. I don't know how you got her through it. But you did.
She did.
Esme felt distinctly odd with the combination of stimulant and residual imagination, but managed not to throw up or fall down. Once in the transport, she tried to let herself relax, but she couldn't quite.
It could still be a trick. It could still be.
She woke briefly back at the base when the medics were easing her into the regen tank. One glimpse of her hands was enough. She didn't fight the sedative they gave her, but slid into unconsciousness. By the time Esme got back to her quarters, she was more than ready for solitude and sleep. The pain was gone, and there were no visible bruises, but her body insisted that something traumatic had happened. The medics said she'd feel much better in the morning, that tank healing often left people feeling slightly disoriented and peculiar. She decided not to bother with undressing. Esme wasn't sure if minutes or hours had passed when the comm unit chimed.
The Commandant wishes to see you at your earliest convenience. He will expect you within 10 minutes.
She tried to shake herself awake and finally staggered toward the shower.
What can the Commandant possibly want?
The Commandant did not look as if this were just an administrative matter. Esme came to attention and waited.
I understand you had an disagreement with the Speaker's daughter, Brunn Meager.
as if she didn't know who it was, as if she did not know with whom she had quarreled.
Yes, sir.
The surveillance recordings indicated that you criticized Sarah Meager on grounds of her moral failings.
Certain phrases came back to her memory for the first time in days, as if highlighted in flame.
Sir.
Do you really think that was appropriate professional demeanor, Lieutenant?
If you have the tapes, you know why I said what I said.
Esme wished she'd been more tactful, but it was petty of Brunn to have reported their argument.
Let me put it another way, Lieutenant. Whatever the provocation, do you think it is appropriate for a fleet officer to lecture a civilian, a prominent civilian, as if they were rival fishwives? Because, Lieutenant, I can tell you that I do not consider it appropriate. I consider it an embarrassment, and I'm quite seriously disappointed in your performance. Allowances have been made for your background.
Esme stirred, but he held up a warning hand and went on.
Your background, as I said, would be some excuse if you were not from a prominent family on Altiplano, and if you had not previously commented on the greater formality of manners there. I hardly think you would have spoken to a civilian guest of your father's in such terms as you used to Sarah Meager.
No, sir.
She wouldn't, because no young woman of family would have behaved like Brunn Meager. She tried to think of an equivalent crime and couldn't. But no use explaining. That never did any good.
And then to make comments when someone in the media could hear you.
Sir?
Don't tell me you don't know about that.
Sir, after the argument with Brunn, I finished packing and then left on the field exercise. I didn't talk to anyone else about anything at all. I didn't talk to anyone about her during the exercise, and I just got back from medical. I'm sorry, sir, but I don't know what you're talking about.
He looked slightly taken aback, someone in a righteous rage who had stumbled over an inconvenient contrary fact.
You spoke to no one?
No one, sir.
Well, you must have been loud enough for someone to overhear, because it certainly made the news.
There would have been no media on a military installation on Altiplano. It wasn't fair to blame her because they'd let media follow Brunn around and poke into every cranny.
You, of all people, should know that Fleet is under great suspicion at this time, between the mutinies and the Lepescu affair, and the last thing we need is some wild-eyed young officer accusing the Speaker's daughter of immorality. That does us no good with the Grand Council, or for that matter, with the populace at large. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
I wonder. You are an intelligent officer, and supposedly talented in tactics, but in all my years, I don't think I've ever seen as egregious an example of bad judgment. You've embarrassed me, and you've embarrassed the regular space service. If you didn't have such a good record previously, I would seriously consider having you up for conduct unbecoming an officer.
All she had done was tell a rich, spoiled brat the plain truth. But clearly, some unpleasant truths were not to be told. Brunn was the one who had done wrong, and now Esme was in trouble. Her head was pounding again.
Let me tell you what you're going to do, Lieutenant. You are going to avoid any interviews on any topic whatsoever. You are going to make no comments whatever about Sarah Meager to anyone. If asked, you will say you lost your temper, which clearly is the case, and you have no more to say. I would have you apologize to Sarah Meager, except that she chose to leave this facility, and no wonder. And I doubt she wants to hear from you anyway. Is all that clear?
Yes, sir.
Dismissed.
Esme saluted and withdrew, angry with both herself and Brunn.